Hello, welcome to the Above the Clouds podcast. I'm your host, Gaynor Turner, and in this and my future episodes, I'll be talking through all things expat and living in the fabulous Emirate of Dubai, to starting my own fashion business and manifesting, plus being a mum to my two children and setting financial as well as life goals to achieve absolutely anything. So a very happy Friday, everybody. I hope you're all feeling really chipper because, as I always say, it's almost the weekend. I hope all of your New Year's intentions are still going strong as well. I feel as though mine are sort of gathering momentum at the moment. So on Monday, it will have actually been 4 weeks since I last had sugar. Although I say sugar, but it's basically chocolate. That's pretty much the only sugar that I have other than honey. And I'm going to let myself have some for Easter weekend. And then I'll get straight back on it on the Monday and do another 4 weeks. But like with any habit, sort of the longer you do it, the easier it becomes, and it just becomes part of your lifestyle. So yes, I'm feeling really good, and I've still been exercising every day, and that's just going to carry on now. So I'm managing to squeeze in a workout each day and do all of my weights and things like that, and stretches whilst the kettle is boiling as well. So I hope yours are all going strong as well. And I've also made a new commitment this week, which I'm rather excited about. Or it'll actually be 2 weeks by the time you're listening to this, because this is actually a pre-recorded podcast, because it will be, I think it'll probably be Eid by the time you're listening to this, or possibly partly into the spring break. But yeah, I have to pre-record because otherwise I have children and dogs and husbands here. So I don't get that quiet time. But yeah, so I made a commitment to actually read The Magic again, which I'm really, really excited about. Only this time I'm actually doing it with my friend Liz. And it was actually her that gave me the idea, because we met up last week. And as we were due to leave dancing, she actually pulled the book out of her bag and said, "I've started reading it." And I had considered reading it at the start of the year because Francesca Amber does it every January. But I was thinking, because you do need to sort of set a time, 15 or 20 minutes each day, to be able to do whatever that day's practice is. And I was thinking, really, any spare time I get now, I'm sort of writing my book, or, you know, doing various things like that. But I think we can all find 15 minutes somewhere, can't we? So I've managed to work it out. And again, like with any habit, once you figure it out, it then becomes part of your daily routine. But it was quite funny when she'd first listened to some of my first episodes a while ago. When I next saw her, she brought out of her bag The Secret book by Rhonda Byrne and The Magic also by Rhonda Byrne, and just went, "Now what do I do?" So it will be quite nice to do it together, because I think because it's a 28-day practice and it's all about manifesting, and the theory behind it is if you do all of these practical lessons every day for 28 days, you will really sort of speed up your sort of manifesting power. Sorry, jet going past me once again. But yeah, it sort of speeds things up a little bit, and sort of it also helps you to really learn about manifesting. And the last time I did it, last January, I think it was, I actually manifested 18 different things whilst I was reading it. And already I started reading it, I think it was 3 days ago. And already something's happened that has been quite monumental, and I just know it's going to be an incredible thing. And that's basically me making the decision to actually have a business coach, like a mentor. And I actually saw her Instagram posts. And it's funny, sometimes these sort of messages will really pop out at you at the exact right time when you need to see them. And a couple of her Instagram posts, because she's brilliant, she posts every day, and it's always really good content. And that must take her a lot of time. So I'd love to hear all about that, how she does that. But yeah, she'd put something on there that spoke to me. And I had actually already met her at one of the networking events that I went to. lovely lady, but really knows her stuff. So I've actually set up to have like a half day coaching session with her, and just sort of up leveling my business, which it just feels like the right time to get some expert advice and get someone else to look at my business from a new perspective, and really start hitting some of those goals, because I do have big goals for myself and my business, but sometimes you need a second pair of eyes on your business to tell you exactly what you need to do to hit those goals. So I'm really, really excited about that. Anyway, on to this week's topic. And I was rather excited to record this for you, because I think for me, any episodes that I record that come from personal experience are the most enjoyable to record and to share with you. So today, I actually wanted to go back to, without a doubt, the best part of my teenage years. And no, it wasn't when I was a Bros fan. In fact, that deserves a separate episode all of its own, I think, so I'll probably record that in another week's time. But it was instead the many incredible school holidays set over a period of years where we went to the beautiful seaside town of Swanage in Dorset. Now, from the age of about 14 up until into my 20s, when I would go there with friends, Swanage was such a core part of my happiness. And I remember one of the English lessons that I had at school around this time that I'd started going to Swanage, the teacher had set an assignment where she wanted you to write a piece about something or somewhere that you go that you love, and I want you to describe it in detail, and then do a sort of a comparative piece of writing to describe what that place is like at a different time. So for me, I decided to write all about Swanage, and the first piece I wrote in the summer, and then the second piece I set in the winter time, because like any seaside town, these places come alive in the summertime and are so vibrant and have such an incredible atmosphere about them. And then when you go back there in the winter, it's a complete polar opposite to that, where a lot of the businesses are closed. Obviously, the weather's a lot colder. People aren't really about much. So I remember sort of distinctly writing these two pieces of writing, and the feeling that I put into doing this writing, because I was speaking from the heart, and I described in detail what it was like sort of walking through the town of Swanage in the summer. And I described the sounds that I was hearing, and the sounds of the seagulls and people talking and doing all these things. So yeah, it was just a pleasure to put down on paper my love for this little town. So we actually started off having a touring caravan, which was on a beautiful caravan site that was surrounded by a lot of fields and hills. And it was about a 20-minute walk into the town. And that was when I was about 14 years old. And then we later on bought a static caravan on a site which was a lot nearer to the town. And from the very start of our visits there, my parents always let me take my friend Joanne there, which I think about that and I think that's incredible, because you know, this went over a period of years, and literally every single time we went there, they said that I could take my friend with me, because my younger sister was 7 years younger than me and had a lot of friends on the campsite, younger friends. And my older sister was off doing her own thing, so she never came with us until I was a lot older. So obviously it's always a good solution to have a friend. So it was during our very first trip when we'd actually walked into the town, and the weather was beautiful, because the weather always seemed really hot, which a lot of people will say, won't they, during their childhood. It always seemed to be sunny in the summer and cold in the winter. So we'd walked into the town, and we'd been hanging around the arcade, which was kind of the central meeting point in Swanage, and they always closed off the road during the summer, so it was nice, you could just hang around there. And we actually got talking to a group of skateboarders who were sort of busy doing their tricks up and down the curb and doing various things. And what transpired after this initial meeting was that I made a group of very unlikely friends who, from the outside, just looked like a bunch of lads dressed in baggy skater clothes, probably up to no good. But the truth was, They actually became some of the greatest and kindest friends that I've ever had. And even though it was a group of different personalities, each with their own funny sort of characteristics and funny personality traits, every one of them was a thoroughly decent person with really strong values. And I think as a result of these friendships, Swanage became a real haven for me, away from the much rawer city of Birmingham where I was from. And I never ever wanted to leave, as it just seemed like the sun always shone there. And it was during our endless visits, our friends always happily welcomed us back since the last time we saw them, normally a few months before. And what we used to do was spend every day and evening with these friends. And we were normally doing something fun, like having an egg fight or just living in the arcade as teenagers do. Or also going to visit other friends around the town who worked during the day in various cafes and chip shops. And it just seemed like the days went on forever. And then we would pop home, normally about 5 o'clock, just for some food, quickly get changed and then go out again on the evening. And it just seemed a very safe place as well. And then with me with clothes, obviously, after spending quite a lot of time with these skateboarders, me and my friend became influenced by what they were wearing. So soon got our first pair of Converse, and Molly now has Converse, and I completely related to her when she went into the shop in Italy. And they'd got all these sparkly Converse, all these really bright colours. And she actually wanted a pair that was deliberately made to look like an old pair, although it was a new pair. And they were actually more expensive than all the sort of all the new pairs. And it was the old battered pair that she wanted. Now, had I have not gone through these times in my teenage years, I completely wouldn't have understood, but I completely got it, because nobody wants a brand spanking new sort of shiny pair of Converse. They've got to look a bit battered. So I completely got it. But yeah, it wasn't long before me and my friend were sort of wearing the baggy shorts, the Converse, and all these kind of things. And I used to feel amazing walking down the road with the gang of skateboarders, because I was very aware that other girls my age were starting to really get into sort of makeup and doing their nails and all this kind of thing. And I just felt like the coolest girl in the world, because, I didn't want any part of that at that age. And then as time moved on, skateboards were replaced with cars and arcades were replaced with pubs. And inevitably, each of our lives progressed into adulthood. But what always stayed with me were the innocent conversations we all had over the endless hours spent together, and the time where we went night swimming, and the genuine kindness that was shared with them, often walking us home at night to make sure that we got home safely. And I think what was so lovely was going into my sort of later teenage years, I think it was probably about 18, 19, I actually met up with them again, because as time went on, the time of us seeing each other was sort of, got sort of longer. But I did arrange to see them. And by this point, my friend that I always used to go there with had moved to Germany, and my life had moved on. I'd made new friends back in Birmingham, and I was going out to pubs and things there. So I really had a life for myself there. But I did meet up with them again. And I think the funny thing was, obviously, probably the last time they saw me, I was in baggy shorts and scruffy Converse. But me being the way I was with clothes and always sort of exploring new clothes, I'd completely moved on from that phase. So I'd then gone on to my dungarees phase. And it was funny, I was almost like a cartoon character. So I used to have different colour dungarees for every day of the week. And then at the weekend, I had a velvet pair. So, I completely changed my image again. And so sort of met up with them and we went to the pub. And it was just so lovely to hear how their lives had moved on and how our conversations were so different, talking about what we were doing. Everyone had girlfriends and all this kind of thing. But that sort of fondness that you have for one another doesn't go, because I think when you've shared that bond of going through some of your crucial teenage years together, there is a real bond there and real memories. But I just wanted to say to my dearest friends, Carl, Daryl, James Simpson, and everyone else that was part of that group in those years. Thank you for just being incredibly exceptional human beings. And I say that just the kindness and the amount of time that we spent together. And I never saw any of them sort of being cheeky to an adult or swearing or doing anything like that. Just really good kids who I would be proud to have my daughter hang around with. So, and we do still keep in touch from time to time on Facebook or sort of see what they're up to. But yeah, your life completely moves on, doesn't it? But yes, so exceptional human beings and very heartwarming to have spent so many of my crucial teenage years with them. But what also stayed with me from this time and also from when I was a child, and my mum always says to me, as soon as we used to get on holiday to our caravan in Wales, no matter what the weather was, the first thing I would do was put on my swimsuit because I was just in pure holiday mode. Yeah, it just stayed with me, the absolute love of being on holiday. And I never understood, and I still genuinely don't, why, if being on holiday is so great, why more people don't live on holiday? If it makes us all feel so happy and joyful and our best selves, why wouldn't you want to feel like that every day? And it just never used to make sense to me that we were all having such an amazing time in Swanage, including my mum and dad and my auntie and uncle who had a caravan on the same site. So why would you leave it? Why would you then go back to just a normal routine and go back to a big city that isn't pretty and isn't by the sea? And I know obviously responsibility is well, it sort of ties us to places, doesn't it? Or sets us in routines. And sometimes you find yourself trapped living somewhere that you don't actually like. And it's not until you take yourself out of that situation and go somewhere that makes you feel so great that you actually realise the comparison. But I think it was definitely that ingrained feeling from when I was little that never ever left me, that if life can be that great, why wouldn't you live that way every day? And that was why, after going on holiday to Mallorca with my friend, I then moved there the following year. And, you know, obviously with a bit of maturity, I realised that you can't just not go back, you know, just leave your house and everything. But I was living at home at the time, so it was very easy. And there I remember, you know, sort of going out on our balcony, you know, you could see the sea. And I was also very aware of probably a lot of people that were there on holiday would feel that sort of feeling of I don't want to go home, you know, and having the real holiday blues. And I always felt very not well. Yes, I did feel smug, if I'm honest, just very smug that I don't have to go home. And on Monday morning, I'll still be here, you know, and just that feeling of joy of living somewhere that you really love. And by the sea, you know, I just have such a magnetic attraction to being by water. So living in Mallorca was just an absolute dream come true. And then that happened again, obviously, when we came to Dubai on honeymoon, and sitting there on the sunbed one day and getting a newspaper and me and Richard just saying, this is so incredible. I wonder what it's like to live here. You know, I wonder, can you live here? Is it easy to live here? What would it be like? You know, would it be easy to get a job? And we started investigating. And that was a real step up, because this wasn't just sort of a, you know, somewhere where you could catch a 2-hour flight where, you know, things would be relatively easy. This was a completely different world. And yeah, so we started looking into it. And then 4 years later, we moved to our honeymoon destination and, you know, sort of went home in between, but then came back and have been here again for 7 years. And I always want to feel like that. I never want to feel that my life is mundane. And I think probably those experiences when I was younger have sort of created that real sort of deep-seated belief in me that every day should be joyful, and I don't ever want to live somewhere that I don't love. So maybe that may have inspired you, or you know, might be of interest to you. I don't know if anyone's ever been to Swanage, but since then we have actually gone back there and taken the children there. And then you're looking at it from a different perspective when you're an adult and you're a parent. But it is still such a beautiful place. And we're actually going there this summer. I'm taking the children and I'm hiring a static caravan for us on the first caravan site where we used to go, which I absolutely loved. And it's got an indoor swimming pool. And it's just joy, you know, and then sharing that joy with my children is just amazing. And you may wonder why I never bought a house in Swanage. But the funny thing was, as time went on, I almost think as though it's too much of a small town. So for me, I actually like a bit of both. So I like somewhere that has all the amenities and sort of restaurants and pubs and things like that that I can go to, but also be beautiful at the same time. So although saying that, I did actually save a property on my Rightmove, you know, sort of file on there. There was a beautiful house that was right by a mill pond, and it was a real, I don't know how old this house was, maybe 17th century or something. But it was only a 2-bedroom house, so that wouldn't be good, but oh, just gorgeous. And I remember walking past this house, you know, sort of every day or so in Swanage when we spent endless weeks there in the summer. And, you know, I spent all my time there, and this house was beautiful, and it had all board and batten on the walls and really super charming. But yeah, I say not very practical just with being 2 bedrooms. And I think the thing with Swanage is it's quite far away from anywhere else. So from Birmingham, it used to take 5 hours. I don't know if that was just my dad's driving. Sorry, Dad. But moving on, you can find me on Instagram at Gainer Above the Clouds. My online store is abovetheclouds.boutique, which has all my gorgeous clothes on there. I've got lots of new bits in actually for spring, so take a look at those. And also my workbook is on there, so if you are thinking of starting a podcast but are having certain self-doubts, there's a step-by-step guide on there which will take you through from having your initial idea to recording your very first episode. And if you have any questions, you're also welcome to DM me on Instagram. And if you have any time, if you could possibly rate, review and subscribe to this podcast, that will help to push up my my podcast so that other people can find me. And yeah, would just really, really help me out. So thank you so much. But yes, in the meantime, I hope you have a fabulous weekend ahead, and I'll see you next time. Bye for now. And if you have time, if you could